A little colder tomorrow night. Early morning tomorrow, mid-40s to 50. Tomorrow afternoon, sunshine with a high into the mid-60s. Then it's a sunny, real nice Saturday with a high of lower to mid-70s. Not quite as chilly, but a cold start in the morning, Sunday. The afternoon under sunshine warms to a high into the mid to upper 70s. Reinforcing cold front, sunshine Monday. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
Rico's Tires and Wheels offers quality used tires. They fix flat tires, too, and they do wheel repair. Rico's Tires and Wheels, just a few blocks south of Veterans, 2609 David Drive, Metairie, 504-455-5199. Rico's Tires and Wheels, quality used tires. They fix flat tires, too, and they do wheel repair. Just a few blocks south of Veterans, 2609 David Drive, Metairie, 504-455-5199.
This is Maritime Matters with Eric Schein on WGSO AM 990, the program that dives into everything American that comes together at our water's edge.
We up? Where are you? All right, people. It's Maritime Matters. Kill the music. Ready? Thanks. It's Maritime Matters, WGSO AM 990, and I have a very special guest today, and I just want to blow through this real quick to get Alex Newman on the program and let him run with it. But he's the CEO, the media CEO of Liberty Sentinel, Alex Newman. He's available for public speaking, radio interviews, TV interviews. You can find all this on his website. It's Liberty Sentinel, sentinel.org/Alex. And he's an award-winning international journalist, educator, author, and consultant. Alex has written for a wide array of publications in the United States and abroad. He currently serves as a contributor to the Epoch Times. I call it Epic Times, but a lot of people call it Epoch, and it is online too, so... However, tomato, tomato, Alex will clear that up for me. WND, WorldNet Daily, Freedom Project Media, The New American Magazine, Law Enforcement Intelligence Brief, and more. Alex has authored, co-authored several books, and one that I read was The Deep State, which, you know, is a good book. I would recommend it, and we can talk about that more. He serves as director for multiple organizations in the fight for faith, family, and freedom. He has worked on a wide array of campaigns, ranging from political campaigns for Congress to marketing campaigns for nonprofit groups and international businesses. Alex has lived in 8 countries on 4 continents and speaks multiple languages fluently and more at varying degrees of proficiency. His work has been cited by governments and major media outlets around the world. I want to just go ahead. I've got some things that I want to throw out, but before I do that, I want to welcome Alex to the program. Alex.
Hey, yeah, thank you very much, Eric. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. God bless. Let me throw this out real quick. The Red Pill Expo in Lafayette that was just held, if you could touch on that. Lindell TV, The New American, John Birch Society, and clear up, you know, all the pot shots that are taken at that group, that society. G. Edward Griffin, Aaron Russo, America Freedom to Fascism, the Council on Foreign Relations and blending the USSR with the U.S. and, you know, towards world government. And, you know, I throw out, and I'll end on this, is that, you know, the President of the United States is a member on the Council on Foreign Relations. The Vice President is a member on the Council on Foreign Relations, or connected through Uber and a bunch of other familial ties. The Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Comptroller of the Currency, Omarovich, who's born in Russia, and I won't even get into that. I'll let you touch on it if you want to. But if you could somehow work into all those different things and whatever else you want to talk about, the danger of the Council on Foreign Relations and its, I'll call it a sister organization, but the Royal Institute for International Relations in England. It's all you.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate you having me. And, you know, as you know very well, the Council on Foreign Relations is the American outpost of an international operation that aims to subjugate every man, woman, and child on this planet, at least those that survive. And they have to be dealt with. They have to be exposed. I think that's the first step. You're absolutely right. They occupy positions at the pinnacle of power across the United States. And frankly, I don't think all of them are necessarily conspirators. I know that quite a few of them truly and genuinely believe that the world would be a better place if we just got rid of countries and just disarmed all of the proletariats and allowed the philosopher kings to rule over us, as Plato would put it. And this is not a new idea, this notion that one world government with totally re-engineered society would be a utopia. But we've seen the consequences of these kinds of ideas all throughout history. The French Revolution was a really obvious example. You had millions of people slaughtered. You had an attempted genocide of an entire segment of the population in France. And then these same evil ideas went over and started wreaking havoc when Karl Marx resurrected them. And then they spread out in Russia and then in China and then in Cuba. And unfortunately, for the last almost 100 years, the Council on Foreign Relations has been helping these revolutionary movements around the world. And in fact, that is very easy to document. You just cross-reference the people within the U.S. government and within the American media who facilitated these revolutions. And almost every time you come up with members of the Council on Foreign Relations, a really good and obvious place to start would be what happened in Cuba, 90 miles off of our shores. If you look at the Americans who were responsible for that disaster, every single one of them was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, including the propagandist at the New York Times, Herbert Matthews, who told everybody that Fidel Castro was an anti-communist freedom fighter, and he was the George Washington of Latin America.
Well, and you could throw in Alan Dulles and John Dulles, of course.
Absolutely, co-founders of the CFR, right? And these people were responsible for Castro coming to power. And it's not that they didn't know he was a communist. They knew very well he was a communist. We had three different U.S. ambassadors warn the State Department that Fidel Castro was a communist. In fact, one of them, the U.S. ambassador to Cuba, came back and wrote a whole book about it called The Fourth Floor, where you can read about how the U.S. government deliberately put Fidel Castro into power. And, you had intelligent people warning about this, like Robert Welch, the head of the John Birch Society, saying, hey, you guys, Castro's a communist. Well, this is crazy. Why are we putting an arms embargo on our ally, Batista? Why are we sending weapons to a mass murdering communist gangster? This is crazy talk. What are you people doing? And it just was so obvious. Of course, Eisenhower played a key role in that operation as well.
Another member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yep. And what you find is across all the administrations, Democrat, Republican, it really doesn't matter. You'll find their cabinets will be dominated by members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Hillary Clinton famously said when she was Secretary of State, she gave a talk at the Council on Foreign Relations, and she admitted that that's who gives her orders. She said, this is great that you guys have an office in D.C. Now I won't have to go as far to be told what I should be doing and how I should be thinking about the future. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, even Eisenhower was involved with Chiang Kai-shek and what happened with Mao Tse-tung, where they set him up to take over. Chiang Kai-shek was trying to set up a constitutional republic, and they helped run him out of the country and arm Mao Tse-tung and push Chiang Kai-shek off into Taiwan, and now we're dealing with that now.
That's exactly right. And there's a phenomenal book about that written by Robert Welch. It's called Again, May God Forgive Us. And it's about how very senior people within the U.S. government, people like George Marshall, who variously served as Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, deliberately sold the great Chinese nation out into communism. They betrayed our ally, Chiang Kai-shek, who had helped us defeat the Japanese. In fact, my granddaddy was over in World War II fighting against the Imperial Japanese, and it was horrific. And Chiang Kai-shek is the man who sacrificed huge numbers of his men to help us finish the job and to help liberate China from the Japanese occupation. And then these disgusting subversives within the U.S. government, every one of them, to a man, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, stabbed him in the back. They put an arms embargo on him. They deliberately brought Stalin into the war on Japan, just like less than 2 days before we dropped nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They knew full well that the war was over. There was no need for Stalin to participate, but they wanted Stalin to be a victor so he could hand the spoils to his little communist allies.
Well, and you hear the music coming up. We're going to break. We got about 45 seconds. I want to throw in on that, on what you just mentioned about the Trilateral Commission and Jimmy Carter being a founding member on that, which is to marry the United States, Japan, and Europe together. That's its kind of submission or whatever under the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral, the Bilderbergs, the World Economic Forum, which is Davos, and more. If you could touch on some of that and your book, Deep State, as well when we come back. But we got to go ahead, Patty. We got 15 seconds. Close out this segment.
Well, I'm looking forward to the other side of the break. I'll be more than happy to talk about the book and everything else. So.
Cool. Thanks, Alex. We'll be right back. We're going to break. We're with Alex Newman.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Hi, I'm Pete Cannizzaro with Cannizzaro Realty Appraisals and Sales. We provide appraisals for multiple reasons, such as mortgages, refinancing, estate successions, property settlement, and more. We have local knowledge and experience, so bring in the experts at Cannizzaro Realty and make sure your property is being evaluated correctly. Cannizzaro Realty Appraisals and Sales, now with three locations, Uptown, Downtown, and Metairie. Call 504-831-0507 or visit CannizzaroRealty.com for appraisals and sales.
This is Jay Walker, voice of the Raging Cajuns. Catch University of Louisiana Lafayette football right here each week on the community voice of the Crescent City, WGSO 990 AM.
Hey, y'all, the Beat Exchange has a new time slot, Mondays at 7 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans. The Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover.
WGSO 990 AM has recently become recognized as an official 501c3 nonprofit organization capable of accepting tax-deductible donations. So, in commemoration of our 75th anniversary, the station is launching a 75 for 75 campaign with the goal of raising $75,000 in 2021. The funds that are raised will be dedicated to help the station fulfill our broadcast mission and satisfy any equipment needs that arise. These donations are especially important because, unlike most radio stations in New Orleans, WGSO is independent, locally owned and operated, and not part of a national broadcasting conglomerate. To donate, go to WGSO.com and click on the Donate button on the front page. Help us to continue to be the community voice of the Crescent City.
Enjoy your next happy hour with Roz and the Rocks. Fridays at 1 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM.
The 32nd Annual New Orleans Film Festival invites guests to virtually explore over 170 films, plus presenting screenings at the Orpheum, The Broad, AMC Elmwood Theaters, and at the Broadside Outdoor Cinema. The New Orleans Film Festival runs November 5th to 21st. Visit NewOrleansFilmFestival.org for ticket and pass purchase info, film schedule, and how to watch from wherever you are. And just a friendly reminder, New Orleans Film Society members get free passes and great discounts at different levels. Visit NewOrleansFilmFestival.org for more information.
Let me just throw out a couple more things. We are with Alex Newman, Liberty Sentinel Media CEO. And you can go to the website, Liberty Sentinel, SENTINEL.org/Alex. I want to talk or let you talk about your book, The Deep State, the recent expo that you guys just did, the Red Pill Expo. I mentioned about John Birch Society, if you can work that in, G. Edward Griffin, Aaron Russo, America Freedom to Fascism, and there was one other thing I wanted to throw in, and I forgot what it was, but there's time's short, I don't know if you can carry over. I know you said you had to cut it short for a number of reasons I won't go into, but if you can, great. If not, I understand, but it's all you. Go ahead.
Well, thank you again, Eric. Appreciate you having me. And you know, the John Birch Society is the one organization that has been sounding the alarm about this for 60-plus years. There's no other organization in America that has really exposed the things that you and I are talking about right now. Things that, you know, very fortunately now are becoming more well-known. More and more people are learning about the deep state. More and more people are learning about the hidden forces behind the scenes that are trying to manipulate us, that are trying to terrorize us, that are trying to steal our freedoms and merge us into a one world government.
Alex, if I could throw in real quick, is to be clear, and from everything I know and understand, they use communism, but the Council on Foreign Relations is British. It's aristocratic. It is royalist. They believe in kingdoms. Even the World Economic Forum has been formed as a constitutional monarchy that will be inherited by Klaus Schwab's family.
Yeah, well, you know, they ultimately want total government, and a constitutional republic is not conducive to what they're looking for. And so there's no doubt, if you look at the Council on Foreign Relations, it was actually set up as an offshoot of an international secret society that was set up by Cecil Rhodes with the massive money he earned in South Africa through mining, backed, of course, by the Rothschild dynasty. So this much is very clear. And one of the goals of his secret society was to bring the whole world under basically the domination of the British Empire. But, you know, I don't think that really adequately does justice to the agenda here. Because, you know, I don't think in this new world order that they're trying to build, we're all just going to have to, you know, salute the queen and everything then is going to be fine. We're talking about something that is, in my opinion, quite literally satanic. This is a diabolical conspiracy. This is a war against God, against everything that God has ordained, against the church, against the moral principles.
Natural law.
In the Bible. Yeah, and that's what I mean by natural law. God said very clearly that you have a right to private property. You have a right to your life. I mean, these things are just fundamental. These are basic. Our founding fathers understood that these are rights that don't come from government. They can't be revoked by government. And you know, and I think we need to give credit where credit is due. A lot of these ideas and traditions we inherited from the British. But, you know, the British have a different form of government. You know, and again, America owes a big debt of gratitude to our British forebears, but there's a reason why we separated ourselves from that. It was becoming tyrannical. The British monarchy and the British Parliament were behaving in a way that is not acceptable for a
despotic
society. Yeah, well, it was despotic. It was despotic in a way that the British people themselves understood. If you go back through British history, I mean, you go back to Ethelred, and you go back to the various British kings, King John, who was forced to sign the Magna Carta with a sword at his throat, right? You know, even the British monarchs had to accept the principle that God's law is supreme over the government's authority, that God has delegated and has endowed each individual with certain rights, and that the king and the parliament have no right to abrogate those rights. And so these things are really critical. And unfortunately, the British government has forgotten those things. And now our American government just completely ignores those and completely tramples all over our rights. So we are in a battle here. And there is on one side a tiny fringe wackadoodle minority that wants to set up really a global technocratic slave state. And on the other side, you have the great mass of humanity that doesn't necessarily quite understand what's going on here, but you know, they want to just live their lives. They just want to be able to raise their children in peace and have a decent home to live in and have food to eat and be able to go to church without being harassed. You know, these are not very extreme demands. These are very reasonable things that people want. But this tiny, tiny, tiny fringe extremist minority that has accumulated so much power through organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg and the Trilateral Commission and the secret societies like Skull and Bones and the Bohemian Grove and on, they are bound and determined to get their way. And they will kill, to make that possible, and they will steal, and they will destroy, and they will subvert, and they will overthrow governments, and they'll do whatever they think they need to do to get it. So, you know, this is a battle quite literally for our republic, for our freedoms, for our families, and for our churches, and for our most fundamental and basic liberties. And I think over the last 2 years, I haven't shown you that really our most basic freedoms are at stake. You're just not paying attention. Like, who would have believed 2.5 years ago that we wouldn't be allowed to go open up our businesses? We wouldn't be allowed to go to work. We wouldn't be allowed to go out in public unless we were carrying some stupid vaccine passport. Nobody would have believed it because it's just so outrageous. And yet here we are. And this is their plan for the world. So now is the time to stand. And I tell people one really good way to resist is, first of all, to become educated. You need to understand who these people are, what their goals are, what their plan and their objective is. And one very simple way to do that, not just to toot my own horn, but get a copy of my book, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes.
And I'm looking right at that and hoping you'll go there.
Yep. So, the first part of the book, it details who these people are. I give you the names. In fact, in the back of the book, I literally reprinted the name of every member of the Council on Foreign Relations as of the end of 2019. So when you have somebody running for governor and you want to say, hey, is this a decent guy or should I be skeptical? Open up the book, go to the back, and oh, there's Greg Youngkin. Huh. Are we being played for fools here? Yes, we are being played for fools here.
Well, he was also co-founder of the Carlyle Group, which is, you know, it's like Cerberus, which is an investment firm that bought Chrysler back from the Germans, from Daimler-Benz, that recently bought Albertsons, a food chain. And Cerberus is one of those corporations like Carlyle that makes money, buys and sells corporations, adds value to them through wars and rumors of war. It's a war profiteering company.
Yep. And Carlyle is basically a wealth transfer mechanism, right? They're taking wealth, they're taking productive capacity, they're taking industries and factories and shipping them from the United States over to communist China so that they can hollow out our economic system, so that they can hollow out our economic might and ultimately our national security. And they're transferring all of that over to communist China. So Greg Youngkin did a good job for his masters, and he sent a lot of money and a lot of capital and a lot of know-how and a lot of technology over to the mass murdering dictatorship in China. And so he's now been rewarded. He gets to be a governor, right? And he gets a lot of prestige.
And Terry McAuliffe was also a member, or is a member, on the Council on Foreign Relations. He scared everybody away from him over to Youngkin.
Yep. And it's very typical that we get two people from the same secret society, the same secretive organization, running for office. I mean, 2004 was a really good example. Yeah. We got the choice between George Bush, very closely associated with the CFR and also a member of the very subversive secret society called Skull and Bones. And then we had John Kerry, also very closely tied to the CFR and also a member of this tiny, 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 extremely secretive secret society at Yale University.
Hey, Alex, we got 1 minute, but can you hold over just for a couple of minutes over past the bottom of the hour or no?
A couple of minutes, yeah, but after that I got to drop
off.
Yeah,
no, that's fine. And I understand and I appreciate it. I just want to give you as much and let you close it out. And there's a couple things, the New American, Lindell TV, Red Pill Expo, G. Edward Griffin and Aaron Russo, America, Freedom to Fascism. If you can touch on those when you come back, and I'll just basically throw it to you when we come back from breaks.
All right.
Thanks, Alex. Hold on. 504-556-9696. After Alex takes off, we'll try to get some calls in. We'll be right back.
Over the last 75 years, New Orleans has gone through many changes, and so has WGSO. From our early beginnings in 1946, broadcasting from the Jung Hotel, being home to Papa Stappa in the 1950s, being a music station, talking biz radio to speakeasy New Orleans style, you, our loyal listeners, have been here every step of the way with WGSO. It's now our 75th anniversary, and we are so proud to have you here with us to celebrate. So we're going to celebrate all year long to show our gratitude to you and make 2021 our most successful year yet. And we will also continue to bring programs that appeal to people of all backgrounds. So from all of us at WGSO, we want to say thank you for making us the community voice of the Crescent City.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge-watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Louisiana Radio Network News, I'm Kevin Gallagher. The Public Service Commission is looking at ways to help prevent massive power outages like the ones that plagued the state back in February and then again with Hurricane Ida. District 2 Public Service Commissioner Craig Green says they want to research options like burying power lines underground to see if that reduces outages.
So we need to approach that intelligently and study which parts should be underground or can we have stronger poles. So we're really taking a deeper dive into resiliency.
Other members say whatever is done, it must be with an eye on not costing ratepayers a ton of money. U.S. Senator John Kennedy was in rare form on the Senate floor railing against the Biden White House for the steep increases in the cost of, well, just about everything.
I think most fair-minded Americans know that President Biden is responsible for this inflation. You don't have to be Einstein's cousin to figure that out.
Kennedy calls trying to fix inflation with more spending an idea that simply won't work. This is news on LRN.
Take your shot for $100. Shot for 100 is now for all y'all. Louisiana residents who roll up their sleeves and get their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine at select locations will receive a $100 Visa gift card while supplies last. Visit shotfor100.com for hours and locations where you can get your vaccine and take your shot for 100. That's shotfor100.com. Brought to you by the Louisiana Department of Health.
Not just anybody can create the perfect creme brulee. And not just anybody can offer Louisiana's hospitality industry the perfect workers' comp coverage. The Louisiana Restaurant Association's SIF team knows what hospitality businesses need. We truly care about your team's safety and your success. Everybody who's anybody goes with LRA Workers' Comp. Ask around. In this business, word of mouth is everything.
And now an important message from Josh Groban.
We are missing the sounds of a busy morning, the sounds of joyfulness, crowded sidewalks. We are missing the soundtrack of our lives. We all yearn to connect again, and we will, but we must keep following the necessary guidelines until we are all safe. Please get vaccinated. Let's bring back the soundtrack of our lives. Let's unite to prevent.
For more information, visit unitetoprevent.org.
Peek into Brennan's, the Grand Dame restaurant on historic Royal Street in the French Quarter, to find The Roost, a quintessential and elegant southern bar overlooking a lush courtyard that welcomes all to partake in the merriment of New Orleans. The amusing aviary-inspired bar is home not only to the most progressive wine and food experience in New Orleans, but also an innovative cocktail program of traditional classics with distinctly relevant twists by the hand of lead bartender Lou Brow. Pop in and celebrate at Brennan's, Roost Bar at any hour of the day. Your Caribbean milk punch awaits.
WGSO across the Gulf South, a great new way. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the sheep sleeps tonight. Oh, in the jungle, the quiet jungle, the sheep sleeps tonight.
Hey, hey, hey. Oh.
It just isn't the same without the lion. Join the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance today. Visit sdzwa.org.
All right. All right, we're back. The LibertySentinel.org /Alex. You can go there. If you want to know more about the deep state, pick up his book. He would appreciate it. You got to support people that are out there fighting the good fight, like Alex. Red Pill Expo, that was just in Lafayette in Louisiana. Lindell TV, Mike Lindell, the Pillow Guy. The New American, John Birch Society, G. Edward Griffin, Aaron Russo, and any other, you know, Federal Reserve, et cetera, the Council on Foreign Relations. Alex, close out this segment. Take it. Take as long as you want. And tell people where they can go to watch your show, et cetera, et cetera. It's all you.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. I appreciate the opportunity to come on. So if people want to get a copy of the book, Deep State, the Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, you can do that right from my website. Go to libertysentinel.org. That's libertysentinel, S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org. And, you can hit the little shopping cart button or go to shop and, you can pick up, Deep State or other DVDs and books that I've written and produced. Also, I'm the senior editor at the New American Magazine. You can find us at thenewamerican.com, the best magazine in the world, bar none. As the publication of the John Birch Society, you can subscribe to the print magazine there. You can sign up for free for our daily headlines into your email, get all the important news, what's going on, what the fake media doesn't want you to know about. If you're not a member of the Birch Society yet, I highly recommend joining. This is the one organization that's been fighting this fight for over six decades. You can find it at jbs.org. We did just have the Red Pill Expo in Louisiana. I'm on the board there, and also on the Freedom Force International, which is the parent organization of the Red Pill University and the Red Pill Expo. Phenomenal organizations. It was wonderful to be in Louisiana in Lafayette. We had a great crowd, wonderful speakers. We had Del Bigtree, David Martin. We had Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, the head of the Congressional Task Force on EMPs. It just was a really great event. Hopefully we'll see more of you guys at the next one. What else? I'm the executive director of Public School Exit. We urge people to get their children out of the public schools. We've got all kinds of programs to make that happen. You can find us at publicschoolexit.com. I'm the executive director there. And then, yeah, Frank Speech. I have a daily show called The Sentinel Report. I've had Eric on before. Fascinating network. We actually just had Donald Trump on an exclusive interview aired day before yesterday. So huge boost in the ratings going on right now, which is encouraging. And people can find that if you go to frankspeech.com or lindelltv.com. My show is called The Sentinel Report. It's every day from 4:30 to 5. And I hope people will check it out. There's a huge amount of amazing programming that you won't find anywhere else. Mike, the MyPillow guy, hopes to eventually build that network up into a rival to Fox News. So that's the objective, and we're moving very quickly in that direction. And that's a handful of the things that I do. People can find me at those places and other places. And, again, I appreciate you having me on the program, Eric. Thank you so much, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it. Alex Newman, the Liberty Sentinel, God bless, and thank you very much for coming on the program. We'll send you a copy. The producer will send you a copy of today's show. And, again, go to the website. You can also donate at the website as well and support any number of organizations that are tied to this. It's growing like you would not believe. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Eric. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Peace. Take care. All right, people, 504-556-9696. If you were in Lafayette and you went to the Red Pill Expo and saw any of the speakers, I'd like to hear if you've heard of Alex Newman and or the John Birch Society or G. Edward Griffin or Aaron Russo, who's passed on. But before he did a film called America, spelled with a K, Freedom to Fascism. And he went into a number of topics in there. Ron Paul was in actually, and I wanted to mention this, and I mentioned this the other day, Judge Emmett Sullivan, I believe I have his name right. He's the one who was involved in becoming the prosecutor in the General Flynn case and or prosecution. who basically stepped in and stepped over and was no longer a neutral and started to prosecute the case as some kind of political expediency against General Flynn. He was in Aaron Russo's documentary and film, America, Freedom to Fascism, where it was a tax case, I believe, and the judge said, and he should have been removed from his position at this time for not having a proper judicial temperament, an Article III judicial temperament, to where he said, you will not bring the law into my courtroom. And it's like, what? Yeah. So a lot of good stuff, a lot of good information. Let me go to Rusty, caller, 504-556-9696. Rusty, real quick.
Yes, Eric, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. Listen, Eric, one time I was talking to you and asked you a few questions, and you said that it sounded like you're being interviewed. I'm wondering if you could bear a couple more questions so I can understand your frame of mind. Is that okay?
Don't you get it a little bit more from who I just had on and what he had to say?
Oh, yeah, I did. It helped a lot.
And that I was an Eagle Scout when I was a kid, just like the kid in Wisconsin. And I'm not, you know, it's a very complex issue there. But, I'm glad that he seems to have gotten a decent judge. You know, this judge is paying, he's calling the prosecutor on you know, his BS and what he's doing.
That's great.
No, and it's like a little bit of hope, I guess. And I know there's going to be all kinds of machinations and political maneuvers that go on hereafter. But with that said, it's good to see what appears to be an honest, decent judge doing his job and being a proper jurist.
Yeah. It's really refreshing. It's very much refreshing. Listen, Eric, do you have a religious affiliation or loyalty?
I was born and raised Catholic, but I would say I'm a recovering Catholic, if that makes any sense.
Okay, because I was trying to understand certain comments, certain things you said.
Well, my father was Irish, and my mother was Portuguese. They were both from Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
They moved out to San Diego for my father had worked at a electric boat, Groton, Connecticut, and then moved out to San Diego to work for General Dynamics, which was owned by the Carlyle Group there for a while. I think it's still mine.
But the things you talk about, do you connect them to apocalyptic type of situations? Because I hear.
Yeah, I do. I do. No, okay. I do. And it's a theme. Okay. It's a proverb that has been constructed by the Royal British German Crown.
Mm-hmm.
These are dirty rat bastards. I'm sorry, but they've been doing this kind of stuff for thousands of years, literally. And I think it's longer than most people think that, you know, civilization. See, I mean, there's records and history and hard evidence that mankind, as being civilized, could go back 600, 700, maybe 900,000 years. And I know to some people that's like, no, crazy. We only go back 6,000 or 7,000 or whatever. The kingdoms of Judea used to be part of the Persian Empire. If you think about that, and even whether you believe, and you can go look at this, and I brought it up before, Caesar's Messiah, Joseph Atwell, and there's other people out there pushing this knowledge, and you can believe it or not, but there's good stuff in there, whether you want it to challenge your faith or not. There's historical information in there about how far these people will go. I mean, the King James Bible was commissioned by King James. We predominantly were all members of kingdoms for time immemorial, time ad on infinitum, back through. The idea of a republic, although it's been around for 2,500 years or more, like Plato's Republic, that allegory of the cave and more comes from, kingdoms have been predominantly, even the Roman Empire vacillated between being a republic and a kingdom or an empire. Go ahead, keep going.
No, I'm just trying to understand the greater frame of thinking that you think these things that you've been talking about, including tonight with your guests, basically a leading up to some sort of antichrist that's going to replace the things that are typical. Well, I don't know if typical.
We've already had a number of antichrists. Any man or woman that lords themselves over others as a king or a queen or a prince is an antichrist. Hold on, Rusty. We're going to break.
I will do that.
And we'll come back with you after the break. 504-556-9696. I don't know if I'll be able to slip any more calls in, but we had a couple others call in. If anybody else calls back, we might be able to get to you, but Rusty might close out the show. We'll see how it all plays out. We're going to break. We'll be right back. We had Alex Newman on earlier from the New American John Birch Society. He's tied to G. Edward Griffin. He's got the book out, Deep State. Go to the LibertySentinel.org and more. Just go look up Alex Newman. Awesome, awesome, awesome information. Do it, people. Time is nigh. We are at the cusp. We're hanging off the edge of the precipice. We're on a break. We'll be right back.
After 84 weeks of free live stream music shows, FunkyUncle.live have moved our shows to the Howling Wolf so we can bring the funk to you every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're selling tickets at the door and on our website for only $10. And tickets are half off at the door with a valid student ID. Don't worry, if you aren't able to join us at the Howling Wolf, FunkyUncle.live will still be live streaming the show every Wednesday for free. Coming to the FunkyUncle.live stage, on November 24th, it's Walter Wolfman Washington, and on December 1st, Mike Dusan. Don't forget that 100% of the proceeds generated from ticket sales goes to the Funk Fund that has raised over $550,000 and helped over 700 musicians and gig workers. So join us for a great cause at the Howling Wolf or at FunkyUncle.live.
Hey y'all, The Beat Exchange has a new time slot, Mondays at 7 p.m. on WGSO, 990 a.m. in New Orleans, The Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover.
Serving the Gulf South from New Orleans, WGSO, New Orleans News Radio, WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City, WGSO 990 AM.
Dave, get up.
Huh? What?
Get up.
Why are you waking me up?
It's 8:30 AM. We got a show on Everything Old is New Again. Our show is on the air at 9 AM this morning and every Saturday morning.
Oh, you mean it changed from 1 PM to 9 AM?
Yeah, WGSO 990 AM. They would like us to wake up New Orleans every Saturday morning with Everything Old is New Again at 9 AM. Come on, let's go.
All right, here we go.
Come on, you don't have to take a shower, don't need anything. We'll do it on the air, don't worry. All right, we'll be here. Everything Old is New Again. 9 o'clock Saturdays.
Hello, this is David Jeremiah. Join me each weekday morning at 5:30 or 6:30 for Turning Point here on Talk Radio 990 AM.
Hi, this is Barbara Hirsch Napolitano. Join Tracy and I every Friday from 5 to 6 on WGSO 990 AM for It's Always Better with Bourbon.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Coming back music. All right. So, Rusty, back to you.
Yes. Well, you know, I asked you whether you connect these things with apocalyptic things in the future, and you said yes. is that your main reason for being on the air, or is it more political and social?
Let me put it this way, and maybe this will clear up some of your questions about where I'm coming from. I went to a federal military service academy. I was a commissioned naval officer in the Naval Reserve on special duty in the United States Merchant Marine. My academy was set up specifically for that, so that as we work as officers in the United States Merchant Marine, it actually counts for our and towards our naval commission as well. So they basically want us working and serving in the Merchant Marine as officers, so that if push comes to shove, or we have a catastrophe like Katrina and what happened in the Gulf, or Ida, we have public vessels that can come to the aid, and we don't have to, like, you know, rent out cruise ships from Carnival and others who are taking the money and the profits out of the United States and flagging these vessels in other countries and more, where, you know, the money is minimally staying in the United States, employing Americans. Beyond that, because of this, and because I actually sued several of the shipping companies, Matson and APL, and the Federal Officers Labor Union or Association, all these guys are from the 1800s. They're all tied to FDR and the Bushes and yada, yada, yada. And they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, just like what happened with Halliburton and KBR in the South when Katrina hit, and they contracted out for, you know, redoing roofs and more, where a lot of these companies, they subcontracted so much there was no money left to actually put roofs on houses. It's egregious. If our country and our institutions actually were honest and didn't have individuals like from the Council on Foreign Relations involved that are working to take down republics from within and using our republic to take out other republics, we'd be living in heaven on earth. We could be. I mean, the amount of money that's stolen by the Federal Reserve and taken out of the country every day is enormous. With that said, they brought charges against me before Homeland Security was created. The Coast Guard brought charges against me to step on the federal complaints. A guy named Archie Morgan IV, who went to my academy, related to J.P. Morgan, he wrote a letter to the Coast Guard requesting them to bring charges against me and investigate me through the quote-unquote administrative hearing process. So for 14 years, I had to endure, and it turned out to be a military tribunal of me as a civilian, to where I experienced and was exposed to things like Chevron deference. And I had no idea what that was. It's basically where the courts have ruled and made judge-made law to say that, no, they have to defer. Our Article 3 judiciary has to defer to our Article 2 administrative courts, and that they cannot carry on any kind of judicial oversight. And that has been overturned to a degree, but people like Amy Coney Barrett, that Donald Trump, you know, nominated the Supreme Court and she was approved, she was a Rhodes Scholar. And Kamala Harris went to her, and this is just a piece of all the stuff, but they prosecuted me in a military tribunal. George H.W. Bush passed the Military Commissions Act of 2006 to try to get at me and carry on. And it wasn't just me, it was other people as well. But I was the first one charged by Homeland Security in 2003 when they created and moved the – well, it was created a little bit before that. But the Coast Guard was moved in March of 2003 into the Department of Homeland Security, where they started to say that – the Coast Guard is now a special branch of military in Homeland Security, not the Department of Defense, but in the Department of Homeland Security, saying that it can carry on civilian law enforcement. I don't want anyone to ever experience or be exposed to what I've been exposed to. No one should ever be in a military tribunal, even if we're not at war. And it's supposed to be the Navy does the Marine Corps, because Marine Corps is still part of the Navy, Army does the Army, Air Force does the Air Force. The Coast Guard is not even supposed to be a branch of military. And I've been trying to get word out on this and asking people to wake up. I mean, it's almost like, and I'm not comparing myself to John F. Kennedy by any stretch of the imagination, but he begged the reporters, he begged the American people to report upon these secret societies like the Council on Foreign Relations. He fired Alan Dulles for being the president of the Council on Foreign Relations while he was the director of the CIA. And if you know anything about history, our CIA has a very strong tie to the British Crown and OSS and more, and Germany, and what went on in Germany. The British Crown gave us the three Napoleons. The British Crown gave us Nazi Germany and Hitler so that they could rule supreme, so that they, as a constitutional monarchy, could be the last standing constitutional monarchy, so they could reinvigorate a worldwide system of United Kingdoms. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that tells you more or answers your question. Or...
No, it does. I just thought they might. You're connecting this with the, if I could use the book's name, Revelations of the Apocalypse. And are you trying to send a spiritual message, or, you know, the thing that's different about
facts?
Your show,
the Coast Guard. Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Thad Allen, who turned the Coast Guard into a branch of military, not in the Department of Defense, but in Homeland Security, where we're not supposed to have branches of the military. He took it from the Department of Transportation, where we don't have branches of the military. They converted the TSA, which is the Transportation Safety Administration, into the Transportation Security Administration. Admiral Thad Allen is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he is now at NASA. Hello, can you go out and take this information and run with it and call your congressman and senator? Because I've tried, and they put me in a box like you would not believe. That's why I'm on the radio, because I'm trying to get the word out and warn people and inform them. And I've been doing this since 2006 or before. I was on the same network Alex Jones is on. I was on the same network that John Stadtmuller is on, Republic Broadcasting Network. I've done all kinds of interviews. I'm trying to get people to wake up and pay attention. Like, look, they've destroyed our separation of powers doctrine that was a founding principle, a founding doctrine, Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. Law enforcement, the executive branch, Article 2, is not supposed to be holding its own courts. There's Supreme Court case law on that, Reed versus Covert, 1957. They even said right in there, we're not supposed to have a competing system of courts under the executive branch, period. Are they paying attention to that? No, because you're not doing enough, and I'm not picking on you, but the American people are not doing enough taking good information, building upon it, and running with it. Because if you pressure these people, it is peer pressure. Congressmen, senators, like Scalise, you have a good congressman, and I've tried to get him on the program. Call him, say, hey, get on Eric's program. I've tried to get Senator Kennedy on my program to talk about even some of the stuff with the Merchant Marine. We don't have a merchant fleet. If we go to war with China over Taiwan or anything else, we're screwed. I don't know how else to say that.
Say that last part again, Eric. If we go to war with Taiwan, you said?
Yeah, and Biden's not going to do that. He's going to let China walk all over and into Taiwan. Trust me. If he does anything, it'll be lackluster, and it'll be just like Afghanistan.
Okay, I'm going to have to pick up on this on another call because I hear your music.
Yeah, you hear it coming up. Thanks for calling and get word out. And anything you can do to donate, get sponsors. I need to stay on the air. I need to stay out there. I need to remain visible. They've been after me. And, you know, Senator Dianne Feinstein from California turned me over to the CIA as a whistleblower. I went to her office, as I even spoke to Guillermo Gonzalez, who I believe is related to Alberto Gonzalez. Think about that and who he was and what he did. We're out, people. Thanks, and next week, hopefully. Peace out.
WGSO 990 AM has recently become recognized as an official 501c3 nonprofit organization capable of accepting tax-deductible donations. So, in commemoration of our 75th anniversary, the station is launching a 75 for 75 campaign with the goal of raising $75,000 in 2021. The funds that are raised will be dedicated to help the station fulfill our broadcast mission and satisfy any equipment needs that arise. These donations are especially important because, unlike most radio stations in New Orleans,